Welcome to Tree Dog Tuesday, only on the Fueled by Joy Working Dog Podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tree Dog Tuesday. We have a little bit of a different episode for you guys today. We are going to talk raccoon roundups, turkey populations, turkey hunters versus coon hunters, all the stuff that you have been seeing on social media today. I'm going to bring in a little bit of research I've done, as well as my opinion, which does not align with the vast majority of my houndsman friends. I am sorry. I love y'all, but sometimes we can disagree and still be friends. Even in the social media day and age, we can disagree and still be friends. That is okay. I just want everybody to know that ahead of time. So we got a good one for you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short message from Joy Dog Food.
Joy Dog Food is one of the oldest dog food companies on the market, starting back in 1945. Since then, much has changed in the pet food industry, but one thing that'll never change is our dedication to our customers and providing the best quality dog food while remaining consistent at the same time. Joy Dog Food is family-owned and operated by Wade Kraskiewicz and his son, Skyler. The two have worked side-by-side for years, providing superior customer service, products, and resources to pet owners across the nation. Here at Joy Dog Food, we pride ourselves on providing personalized one-on-one customer service to each person that calls, emails, or messages us. For more information on our products, to find a dealer near you, or to become a dealer yourself, visit joydogfood.com or call 800-245-4125.
Okay, as this topic tends to come up this time of year, every year, well, not every year, I wouldn't say every year, last year and this year, I actually did a podcast on Houndsman XP about this time a year ago with Dan Bregman down in Texas, who was part of this group that sponsored some of these raccoon roundup competition hunts, competition trapping deals that everybody is irate about on the hound side. I know I'm in the minority here amongst houndsmen, and I don't, we'll go back. We'll go back a little bit. What are these things? These are basically raccoon killing contests. They do the same thing with coyotes, and they have for many years. But guys go out, they call coons, they trap coons. Some of them even hunt coons with hounds. But basically it is kill as many coons as you can, come in, win a cash prize. And I know There's going to be a lot of folks that turn this, or just they turn beet red, and they're going to be real. I'm not against it. I know you're mad at me. I'm not completely against these contests. Now, what I'm asking my listeners right now is to keep an open mind. Remember that my entire living and a vast majority of my life has been dedicated to chasing raccoons with hounds and the preservation of our sport, and especially the competition side of it. And I do love it. If it were not for raccoon hunting with hounds, I don't know what I would do for not only my career, but for my pastime. That's what I do. I'm a coon hunter, and I have been. Even when I was doing construction, I was a coon hunter. When I was waterfowling so hard, and then when I was running English setters and chasing upland birds all over the country, I was a coon hunter. I've always had dogs. I've always loved hound sports, and I've always thought that Training a top-notch competition coonhound is the hardest thing to do in dog sports, and I still think that. My children have been raised in the woods at night chasing raccoons with hounds. I try to pass this sport on as much as I can. I try to preserve it the best way I know how. And sometimes I'm wrong, and we all make mistakes and all that stuff, and humility is very important. And I have to understand that I'm not the end-all be-all, and I don't know every situation throughout the country. But what I do know is that every time I see somebody on Facebook or any social media platform talking about stomping turkey eggs and all that good, and I've been guilty of some of that stuff in the past. I have to check myself every now and then because I'm pretty anti-deer hunter. deer hunters, I don't understand it. I don't get it. Probably just like they don't get me. To me, a deer is a nuisance. It is something that every time I get a brand new vehicle that runs into the side of it, they do a lot of damage. They're good to eat, but now they get CWD and everybody's nervous about eating stupid things anyway. So I'm guilty too, but I have to remember that there are people that are very passionate about hunting whitetails, just like I am hunting raccoons with dogs. And that is their sport. And it is how they enjoy their time with their families. And so I have to remember that calling them all stupid and all that stuff, like I've done in the past, I've done it. I'll be the first one to admit I've done it and I was wrong. The best policy is to help educate, befriend, and work with other sportsmen like deer hunters and turkey hunters. And so while I'm criticizing these guys that are talking about stomping turkey eggs on Facebook, I have to remember that I myself have been guilty of actions like that in the past too. I'm on record multiple times as saying I wish all the deer were gone. And so maybe this is fairly hypocritical of me, but I do like turkey hunting. I don't shoot the turkeys myself anymore. I haven't in years. I do love taking my son, daughters, and all that stuff out and turkey hunting with them in North Missouri. I have killed the Grand Slam. You know, I've killed all the turkeys. I've traveled around and done it, but I'm not a hardcore turkey hunter. It's been years. Probably 10 years since I pulled the trigger myself on a turkey. But I understand where these guys are coming from. What they're seeing as a threat to our sport or to their sport is nest raiders. And the numbers are going down. We can't deny that. I see that all over the country. I travel around a lot. I've hunted raccoons in nearly every state that has raccoons, pretty close to it. And those numbers are going up nationwide. Raccoon numbers are on an upswing, and turkey numbers are on a downswing. That is the facts. We can't deny that. And to deny that is you're just doing it out of your, well, I seen a big flock of turkeys yesterday. They're everywhere. But by all accounts, all over the country, everywhere I go, coon numbers are up and turkey numbers are down. And turkey hunters are blaming this on the raccoons. And it's not always the raccoons. It's not always the nest predators. It's not the skunks and the possums and the raccoons. And I don't feel like these turkey hunters killing all these coons during these roundups are really having an effect on anything. Now, I'm going to go into some science here in a little bit, but right now I'm going to just start with my observation. As a trapper, I do enjoy trapping. I don't enjoy trapping raccoons unless they're really, really high, unless fur prices are high, and that hasn't been the case since 2013. They have not been worth the effort that it takes to catch them, skin them, flesh them, stretch them, sell them since 2013. And that is in part, or that is one of the reasons behind the massive influx in raccoons. So as a trapper and as a turkey hunter and as a houndsman, and I may be wrong here, but I feel like I have a unique perspective, or not a unique perspective, but a unique situation, because I have this podcast and I have a social media presence and I have a voice, and I also have trapping experience, turkey hunting experience, and of course experience running raccoons with hounds. And I have those experiences through multiple parts of the country. States I've coon hunted in, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, North Carolina, West Virginia, Ohio, Indiana, of course, Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Montana, South Dakota, I think. I have not hunted in North Dakota. I've not hunted in Pennsylvania. Hunted in Michigan, Minnesota, all those states, and many of them over just the last few years. And anybody that's hunted around those areas, they're going to tell you that the coon numbers are up. They are up. I know they're not as much as some people would want, especially in the South. But they are up. Coon numbers are high. It's just not necessarily where you're turning your dogs loose at. And they're not having these events where you're turning your dogs loose at. So hear me out. The purpose of these events by the contestants is to kill as many raccoons, possums, skunks as possible. And while that sounds, I don't know, sounds horrible to houndsmen, where this happens is not going to be where you turn your dogs loose. I mentioned on a few posts that check before the event and check after the event. Right now, let's start recording how many coons you're treeing this March. You're hunting 5 nights a week. The best way to do it is time a dog's loose per week versus coon streak. So say I'm hunting 2 hours a night, 5 nights a week. I'm hunting 10 hours. I'm treeing 15 to 20 coons. And, you know, just keep track of that in March. Then let these contests go. Let them go. Just wait. And go to next March. And keep track of these 4 weeks. Hunt 20 hours. 10 hours a week, 20 hours a week, whatever. And keep track of your coon streak per hour. And I'd be willing to bet that they're not only the same with the same dog, but they'll probably go up next year. Because how they are catching these coons and the most efficient way to catch coons to win a contest are going to have zero impact on what we're doing as houndsmen. Very little to none. What we're going to do is we're going to get into this a little bit later. I know how people are going to act. Well, you got plenty of coons up there. You're in North Missouri. You're right on the Iowa border. It's not like that down here, et cetera, et cetera. And that is the case. You know, I agree. There are places with much less coon numbers. I hunt them too. Eastern Oklahoma and the Wachitas and parts of Texas, parts of Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia. Yeah, I get it. There's not a lot of coons. But where are you going to go for a big coon contest or for a coon numbers contest where you're trying to win some actual money? Are you going to go where there's no coons? No. All right. So we're going to get into that a little bit later too. But first I want to get in to some numbers. I'm a numbers guy. I'm a science guy. I'm a study guy. And yes, especially after COVID, I realized that all studies need to be taken with a grain of salt, as does anything coming from the government. But we do have some fairly good numbers that are going to corroborate most of our observations. And so we'll go through them. We will go through some of these contests and the rules behind them and the most efficient way to win one, some other things like that too. So we're going to take one more quick break, and then we will come back and we will get to some raw data.
Fuel your dog with power. Fuel them with strength. Fuel them with Joy Super Meal 3020. Joy Super Meal is made for the hardest working dogs. With a colossal 510 kcals per cup, magnesium for muscle repair, and pumpkin for digestive health. This formula is made specifically for gaining muscle mass and added endurance. Our Super Meal 3020 is also great for breeders and offers mothers extra calcium and magnesium to assist with whelping. For dogs that work just as hard as you do, make sure to fuel them with the best. Fuel them with Joy Super Meal 3020. To learn more about Joy Super Meal 3020 or to find a dealer near you, visit joydogfood.com or give us a call at 800-245-4125.
All right, folks, we're going to get into a little bit of the science and some more of the opinion, I guess. But what I would like to say is every hunter of every species that I know, whether it be coon hunters, trappers, turkey hunters, elk hunters, bear hunters, you name it, there is never, ever, ever enough of their target species. Ever. Find one turkey hunter that says, man, there are way too many turkeys. Find some elk hunters like, man, we got too many elk here. We need to fix that. Or bear or coons or whatever. You name the species. Give me a hardcore devotee to hunting that species. And I will show you a group that is never satisfied. I hate to harp on deer hunters again, but deer hunters are the worst. There's never enough deer. If they're seeing 10 a night, they want to see 20. If they're seeing two good bucks a week, they want to see four. If they're killing two Boone and Crockett whitetails a year, they want to kill 10. You know, that's just the way it is. Not all coon hunters are like that. We're one of the few exceptions, I think. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that from a biological standpoint, our target species has a very good or a very large impact on species both above it and below it on whatever scale you want to use. Let's go through we're just going to go through turkey population numbers, raccoon population numbers over the last 20 years, and then we're going to talk about where these animals are, where the growth is, where these animals are showing growth and where they're showing decline, and the habitat that they're inhabiting mostly. So we'll get right into that. As far as turkeys, it is no secret that turkeys are on the decline. Statistically, I believe they're down 15% nationwide, something like that. I'll get those numbers for you a little bit later. But what is important to know is that nobody really knows why. There's no set in stone, this is it, this is the smoking gun. This is why turkey numbers are down. It's probably a death by a thousand cuts type situation. But I do know in most conservation stories, habitat is the key. But as of right now, many states are conducting long-term turkey population studies. You know, Iowa is, I believe they started a 10-year study this year. Many other states are on board and doing the same thing. Wisconsin, many of the states in the Southeast, Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, Nebraska, you name it. Many states are starting these studies right now, so we are going to have answers. And I know there is a group of people that do not trust biologists, but from my experience, wildlife biology is one of the very few instances where politics do not corrupt the science as much as every other area. Does it play an effect and play a role? Yes, it does. But not as big a role as it does in other areas like, say, pharmaceuticals or something like that. So keep that in mind that we're going to have a lot more information coming soon. But from a biological standpoint, it's always habitat. If you have the proper habitat, everything is going to turn out just fine, whether it be any species. And so let's just keep that in mind as we go through some of these numbers on the turkey's decline. We are, of course, going to start out where I'm most familiar, and that is northern Missouri. When you look at the, I'm on the border of the northeast region and the northwest region. So I'm in very north central Missouri. They are doing a really big study right now. They're actually, believe it or not, Finley actually killed one of these coons, perfectly legal, during coon season. But they have been trapping coons and tagging them. And they have been trapping turkeys and putting GPS collars on, or GPS backpacks or whatever they put on them, and doing all that stuff. And they're doing a study there. And so that study is still ongoing. So I'm not going to use a whole lot of data from it because it's not there yet. But when you look at just harvest data, and we're talking spring turkey harvest data, during the spring, usually anywhere, mostly 2 to 3 year old gobblers, some jakes. It has been on a steady decline since 2001. That was the peak in the northeast region. In 2004 in the northwest region. So you're looking at the early 2000s. We're close to 10,000 birds in both areas for the northwest region and northeast region. And this is just harvest data now. But it is indicative of overall turkey abundance, because turkey hunter numbers have actually gone up while the spring turkey harvest has gone down. So hunter take per capita is down since the early 2000s. So you're looking at a 20-year decline almost by half. In the northwest region, 2004, you're topping out the high 9,000s. And by 2021, you're looking at below 5,000, close to 4,000. The same thing in the northeast region from 2001 down to 2020, you're looking at below almost 5,000 birds total. And so a 40% decline during the late 2000s. There was a boom, had a good hatch in 2011 and 14. Which caused a little bit of an uptick in 15 and 16, but that quickly and sharply dropped off down to 2021, which is the last year they have that data on the report that I'm looking at. And so just in my region, turkey numbers are down substantially, 40%. That is a big decline. And I've read a lot of different reports and a lot of different things that perhaps the spike in the early 2000s was an anomaly, that turkey numbers were not sustainable at that level. And I do believe there is some merit to that. I remember I was guiding turkey hunters in 2004, 2005, and the numbers were astronomical. There were turkeys in every field. Filling your tags was not difficult. We were the hot spot and the hotbed for turkey hunting destinations, or turkey hunters from all over the country. We were a top turkey hunting destination at that time, and we still are to an extent. We still have a substantial number of birds. Jace has no trouble tagging out every year, but it is harder. 40% decline in birds in that region, and that is pretty close to what I'm seeing here just on local farms. Very similar. So, yeah, we're just talking about North Missouri, but these are pretty good statistics nationwide. We are looking at about a 40% decline in North Missouri, and at least a 15% decline, if not more, throughout the United States, you know, as a whole. And so we'll get into that too. Total turkey population numbers. We also need to keep in mind that these turkey numbers are only going to be indicative of eastern turkeys, mostly. Where we're talking about the impact between turkey numbers and raccoon numbers are going to be in the states where there are a lot of raccoon hunters and turkey hunters, and where they intermix. You're looking at the Southeast, the Midwest, some occasions in the Northeast, very rarely. And that's pretty much it. You're probably from, if you draw a line from Nebraska over to, I don't know, Virginia and down to Georgia and back into Texas and up, that's probably the area that we're talking about. And so you're not going to get a whole lot of Rios or Merriams, a few Osceolas in there, I guess, in the Florida region. But mostly we're talking about eastern turkeys. That's where they're going to come into contact with most of the raccoon numbers. Speaking from experience, there's not a whole lot of raccoons in northeast New Mexico. There are a lot of turkeys. So just keep in mind that when we're talking about turkey numbers, we are talking about the Midwest and the Southeast. Generally. But as far as a general population, I'm going to leave it to the experts here. And these are the words of Dr. Mike Chamberlain. He is a biologist and a top turkey biologist. And here's what he has to say about population.
I ask this a lot. How many turkeys are out there? And the bottom line is we don't know. And we never have. In most cases, we lack rigorous estimates of abundance. And instead, what state agencies are charged with doing is taking the best available information they have to them and trying to extrapolate how many birds are out there. It's a daunting task. If you look at the information that agencies have provided since 2014, which is the last five-year status update, the estimated abundance declines have been pretty slight. But when you go back to 2004, which is kind of when, in my mind, restoration ended in most parts of the country, the abundance declines have been about 16%.
Okay. So the abundance declines are down about 16%. Let's just, if Dr. Mike Chamberlain don't know, I don't know. And so it's hard to navigate, you know, exactly how many turkeys are out there and how many turkeys were there 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, as opposed to today. But you look at a decline since reintroduction, and I believe the initial reintroduction, you have that boom like we talked about earlier, and perhaps we've hit, perhaps that was never sustainable. Maybe this is the sustainable number of turkeys that we have out there. Nobody really knows yet. And so is it hard to convince a turkey hunter of that? Yes. For a guy that's been hunting 20 years and he sees the boom in 2004 when, my gosh, there were turkeys everywhere and you could bang two pots together and you could call three gobblers in, and it was wild and it was crazy and it was fun. And to now where you got to really work and these birds are a lot quieter than they used to be. They're hitting the ground. They're not saying a word, where it used to be there was this plethora of two-year-olds that were coming in no matter what, late in the day and stuff. It's hard to convince a turkey hunter that we don't know that the turkey numbers are on a decline that's just coming off an artificial high, or vice versa, that they're on a long-term decline that will lead to perhaps more regulations constricting the amount of turkeys that you can take and harvest and hunt. And so that's important. That's an important difference to understand. And frankly, we don't know. And that's why I wanted to bring that out there is when we're talking as houndsmen, when we are turkey hunting or we're talking to turkey hunters, and we need to make, just like we do with any opposition to our sport, we need to make an educated, informed response to things like that. When a turkey hunter comes up to you and says, hey, you know, there's too many coons. My gosh, I see them hit on the roads everywhere. They're in my game cameras. They're on my feeders. And now I don't have any turkeys. We can say, look, we don't know it's because of raccoons. We don't know. Nobody knows. The top turkey biologists in the world don't know. We don't know if the decline is because of this is what our turkey numbers are good, sustainable at is right now, or maybe 5 years down the road with more decline or maybe a little uptick. We don't know. So I just wanted everybody informed for that matter, first of all. But 16% decline since 2004, according to the foremost turkey hunting expert and biologist in the world. And that's probably the source that I'm going to go ahead and say is probably legitimate, and we're going to take it. Then we talk about raccoon numbers. And maybe there is a correlation between the turkey numbers being low and the raccoon numbers being high. We don't know that yet either, I'm guessing. We will know very soon. And biological standpoints with the 10-year study, that's pretty soon. One thing I do hate about game agencies and biologists is they do tend to take their sweet time, but they also want to get it right. So let's look at the raccoon numbers just as a whole in general. And when we talk about this number, we're going to talk about the incline in mesopredators. Mesopredators are that mid-range, middle-level predator in what they would call a food web or a whatever. You know, it's, you know, when you think of the top-tier predator, the lion, the jaguar, the puma, the whatever, and then there's that middle range, coyotes, raccoons, skunks, fox, those are mesopredators. And mesopredators as a whole are way more adept at dealing with humans and in not necessarily invading, but growing according to human population and human habitat. Mesopredators, you've seen the news where the coyotes are in Central Park and you know the coons are in the dumpsters in town and stuff. And so that has a lot to do with raccoon number growth and all mesopredator growth, which for the most part, other than, I'm not sure about fox, but I know all the other mesopredators that live in correlation with human habitat, their numbers have been way up and been on the steady increase for quite some time. As humans grow, as we invade more wildlife habitat, either through the countless subdivisions that you guys see and that we all makes us want to puke, to things like you wouldn't think logging or tearing out fence rows or something like that would be good for mesopredators, but it actually is too. Raccoons stay in those brush piles. Raccoons invade those urban developments. And they thrive where other animals do not. They can take those places that we have converted into human habitat and make it their own, almost to the point that they are better at it than every other mesopredator out there. Raccoons are the best. There's actually, I even read an article while doing research for this that they may become the new rat. where they're invading cities and they're just everywhere. And so that has a big impact on overall numbers. And that is very important when it comes to these contests. We're going to get back to that. When it comes to these contests, urban suburban populations of raccoons that live on or around or near human habitats is very important. And so, yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, when we're talking about an overall raccoon population, which is also very hard to estimate, the increase has a lot to do with our increase and our encroachment into more traditionally wildlife habitat. And turn, you guys have seen these subdivisions. Now, what used to be a 200-acre bean field is now just houses and sidewalks and people that have little yappy dogs that they pay people to come in their backyard and clean the poop up. And so that happens everywhere. And it is increasing at an alarming rate, as is the coon population. And so just keep that in mind when we're talking about coon population. And we'll go through the numbers real quick. Now, these are some numbers from the MDC on the raccoon population. And we are just talking about Missouri once again. In 2009, the MDC estimated that the statewide raccoon population at 1.4 million with an annual trapping of 100,000 to 200,000. That's a big gap. Like I said, these numbers are very hard to really nail down. In 2019, 10 years later, MDC estimates show statewide raccoon population continued growth with annual trapping from 2015 to 2019 of 20,000 to 30,000. The estimated statewide raccoon population at 1 to 2 million with an annual trapping of 100,000 to 200,000 in 2010. And in 2019, they didn't give the exact numbers on the raccoon numbers, but just said population growth. And the trapping went down from 20,000 to 30,000. So you're looking at a 70% at least decrease in raccoons taken while the population continues to increase. And so I know you guys are going to say, well, that's not Georgia, that's not Tennessee, that's not South Carolina, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a pretty nationwide incline in raccoon population numbers that have also coincided with the turkey number. And they're decreased by approximately 15%. We can call it less than that because of the highs in 2004 and how that may have been artificial or whatever. But you're looking at a general increase in the raccoon population nationwide, along with a general decrease in the turkey population nationwide. Do we really know that it's because of the raccoon? One study shows that 48% of all nest predation of wild turkeys is from a raccoon. But I would guess, I would venture to guess, that when raccoon numbers were a touch lower and turkey numbers were way higher in, say, 2004, 20 years ago, that probably 48% of all nest predation was raccoon. Has that number changed? Has the nest predation of wild turkeys went up over the last 20 years? We don't know. Nobody knows. That's the bad thing about some of these studies and some of this research is we're not there yet. We don't know the cause and effect of the turkey number decline. I will say that I do have a source inside the National Wild Turkey Federation that does not wish to be named. It is a confidential source. But I will read his quote verbatim. He says, organizationally, the NWTF supports predator hunting and trapping of fur bearer animals as additional outdoor recreational opportunities. Focusing on improving the quantity and quality of early brood rearing habitat in close proximity to quality nesting habitat has proven to be a much more effective way to influence the reproductive success of ground nesting birds. Good habitat is good for everything, including raccoons. Turkeys and raccoons have coexisted for as long as they have each been around, and they will continue to for as long as the habitat remains balanced. And so, yes, according to My source at the National Wild Turkey Federation, balance in habitat is the key for raccoon and turkeys both, as it is a vast majority of all wildlife. So where do we go from here with this information? You can't dictate what people do and say on social media very often. You will look at a turkey hunting Facebook page or Instagram account or whatever, and they got a slew of raccoons and dog-proof traps or in live traps, and they're saving the turkeys and et cetera, et cetera. And another turkey hunter picks up on that, and he does the same thing, and he encourages the same thing without doing the absolute hours of research that I've done for this podcast. And that happens. That happens in the sport of turkey hunting. It happens in the sport of coon hunting. Coon hunters see one of these turkey contests, and it may be held 10 hours from their house, and they freak out. And then pretty soon, they're putting things on social media that make all hound hunters look terrible. But what I think we have here is an opportunity. The biggest threat to raccoon hunting with hounds is access. And the biggest threat to all hunting is access. The vast majority of land is privately owned where coon hunting takes place. A vast majority. Yes, we have some great public grounds. And I, for one, am very lucky that the MDC is so good at creating public ground for all of us to partake in the sports that we enjoy. But a vast majority of it is on private land. And there is an opportunity here. While these turkey hunters think that the raccoon numbers are what is destroying their sport, we can go in there and we can solve that problem for them, as well as not only getting new ground to hunt and things like that, but making new friends in other sports through our goodwill and our attitude. You know, if your attitude is this guy enjoys his sport just as much as I do mine, and he don't understand mine. He don't understand the blood, sweat, and tears that it takes to turn an 8-week-old coonhound puppy into something that is going to be a lifelong companion and hard hunting, winning sporting dog. He don't understand. He don't understand my passion. He don't understand anything that I do. We can help them. We can take them raccoon hunting with our hounds. We can harvest some coons off their property let's not beat around the bush. There are coons eating turkey eggs. Okay, is it at the level that a lot of turkey hunters think? Probably not. But it does happen. It is there. And spot hunting a place and keeping raccoon numbers at a manageable level can do wonders for a turkey population, I've no doubt, on a certain farm or a certain area or a certain acreage. And we have the opportunity to do that for them. And not only in one drop or one hunt or one week, but year after year after year. We've done things like that in the past. You know, we've kept coon numbers down for people that needed them down, whether it be farmers or somebody who's got them getting in their sweet corn or something like that. We've always done that. And now we have an opportunity to do it for a group of outdoorsmen that may not be familiar with what we do and how we do it and why we do it and the love that we have for it. And we're not taking advantage of it. And our conduct is not becoming of the people that are in the sport as a whole, which are very good people. We're not selfish. It's my way or the highway. Coon hunters as a whole are very good, genuine, kind-hearted people. I know, I've been around them all my life. Are we a touch jealous at times? You bet. But other than that, let's take this opportunity to maybe do some good for the sport and be the better group of sportsmen and show these people what we are and why we do it and how we do it. And we're just not we're just not taking advantage of it like we should, I don't think. Social media has a huge impact on our sport, more so than many of the others. We have been viewed for as long as I can remember as uncouth hillbillies from the mountains that come down every now and then with their bib overalls and a piece of straw in their mouth, and we buy tobacco and flour at the local store, and we go back up in the hills with our dogs. And some of us, that is what we are. And that's okay. I like those people too. But at some point, we have to try to take advantage of certain situations and do it in a proper way to where we come out looking like the group of people that were in the right the whole time. And this is an opportunity to do that. And I wish people would. Back to these contests. I do want to talk about one last thing. And that is, have I taken part of any of these contests? No, I've not. I've had some held right here around me. A few of them, actually, now. It's had no impact on any of my hunting with hounds or the raccoon numbers. And I'm guessing if, like I said earlier in the podcast, if you guys would check your numbers, it probably has no impact on you as well. But as we talk about how we should conduct ourselves on social media, and I don't want to seem like I'm preaching to you guys because, you know, you're all mostly, everybody's listening to this is going to be adults and you can do your own thing. And I'm all for freedom as well. But we need to remember that the people that are doing some of these contests are those trappers that I talked about earlier that were taking 100,000 coons per year out of the state of Missouri. And now it's down to 10,000 because there's no market for them. And the only reason to trap is the love of the sport, which is the reason a lot of us coon hunt. And so trapping is on the decline, and it's a very important sport and another outdoor activity that I absolutely love to partake in. And it has been on the decline for 10 years, 11 years now, 12 years, something like that, here in my part of North Missouri. And these contests give a trapper an opportunity to do what he loves to do, partake in his sport in a competitive atmosphere, just like we have done with coonhounds for decades, just like we enjoy. And so I don't want to take that away from him. The guy's been wanting to trap raccoons all year, and he gets the opportunity to do it and maybe get paid. I don't want to take that from him. And they're not doing this where we coon hunt. So let's say I have a raccoon contest right here by my house. We meet at the local gas station. We have a great big fish fry, and off we go. How am I going to win that thing? Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put all kinds of dog proofs along major highways. I'm going to put them around dumpsters. I'm going to put them in town. I'm going to put them in places where I would never turn a dog loose. And it's not because I'm worried about the coon population where I turn my dog loose, because there's not as many coons there. The coons, like we've talked earlier, are mesopredators, and they are stacked into urban areas. They are stacked along major roads. They are in places as a whole where we very rarely venture with our hounds. We're not turning loose up the railroad tracks. Okay, we're not turning our valuable dogs along major highways or in small towns or behind the dumpster at the local Mexican restaurant. We're just not. And that is where a vast, vast, vast majority of these raccoons are taken in all these contests. And so it doesn't have any effect as a whole on our sport. Little to none. Do I agree that the optics are bad? Yes. Do I agree that they are downgrading an animal that I view as a sporting animal, that I view as one of my favorite animals of all time, and a raccoon? Yes. They are degrading it and making it a nuisance animal, which, like I said, the optics are bad. They're also putting huge carcass piles on social media, which is a terrible optic as well. I don't think anybody should be doing that, to be honest. It brings not only unwanted attention to the sport that we love, but it also brings the unwanted attention of animal rights activists and people that are trying to keep us from killing anything. And so I don't think that that's a good idea either. I also don't believe that these contests have any impact on wild turkey numbers. They don't. So it's a catch-22. They're not having their intended effect because of where these coons are caught. Guess what else isn't around the dumpster at the Mexican restaurant? That's a hen turkey trying to lay eggs. Where they're catching these coons are not where the turkeys are at. And so is it an exercise in futility? Yes, I think it is. I also think that us getting up in arms about it is also an exercise in futility as well. Now, I don't think it makes any sense for us to make a fool out of ourselves or to downgrade other sportsmen when we have the opportunity to take the high road and come out smelling like a rose in the long run. That's my stance on it. Do my numbers support it? Somewhat. A lot of this is conjecture, just like the turkey numbers and the raccoon numbers overall. And so it is hard to determine whether I'm right or wrong. And I'm anxious to see all the upcoming research. And I've been conducting my own study as well. We have farms where I coon hunt and turkey hunt. As you know, we have a good coon population up here. And I do take a lot more coons than most coon hunters. And I tend to do it where I turkey hunt. Our turkey hunt numbers have been pretty steady as these raccoon numbers have exploded. And I think that may be the reason why. I don't know. I won't know until more data comes in, just like neither will you. And so let's keep that in mind. We don't know yet. These are other sportsmen and outdoorsmen enjoying the outdoors with their family, whether it be with traps or hounds or calling raccoons or whatever. And so I don't know. I don't know. You guys take all this information that I've given you and you form your own decisions. But I just like to say that every time we speak out on social media, that the whole sport as a whole is impacted. And I want everybody to take that into consideration. I need to do the same. I make posts on occasion that are probably just as detrimental as anything else. And I'll do my best to keep that in check. I've been getting better. If you'd have seen my social media 10 years ago, you'd have probably been fairly disappointed in me. Some of it was pretty funny, though. But as we evolve, we start making, I think, better decisions. And we'll see how that turns out. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. I don't know. But I do know that advertising that we will stomp on turkey nests is not a good look for anybody in the sport that we love. So that is it. Leave your comments, Josh@joydogfood. Please try to keep them civil. I don't mind debate. And like I said, when I done this same similar podcast last year, by all means, if anybody has any data contradicting anything that I have, send it to me. If you want to be on the podcast and lend your voice as far as a complete opposition to these, I'd be more than happy to sit down and have a very civilized discussion among gentlemen or ladies and have that conversation. I think debate is good, and I think dissent is sometimes warranted. So send them in, josh@joydogfood.com. Let me know what you guys think. Let me know your opinions on this in the most hospitable way you can possibly do it. Please know, which I've had those in the past where they just rant on an email for multiple pages without any punctuation and drop a lot of swear words and call me names. And that's okay too. I just won't give it any credit or merit. So yeah, send me your well thought out and well-typed response. And I'd be happy to read it. And maybe we can get you on the podcast or at least read it on the podcast next week on Tree Dog Tuesday. So turkey season is coming up through a lot of the country very soon. This weekend is our youth season. And I will be out with my daughter and enjoying that. One thing I did not get into is turkey numbers as far as harvest goes and their impact. I've already been a little long-winded here. We may touch on that subject later, but I do say that we are taking too many turkeys and we need to tone that down. Us as a family, we take two a year, one for my son and one for my daughter. And that is it, despite having six tags. And I think that that is a good policy for turkey hunters to follow as well. We do enjoy our time in the woods, but we want to conserve the resource and do our best possible, just like we do with raccoons. So thanks for listening. Remember to tune in for Working Dog Wednesday tomorrow and send your questions, comments, concerns to Josh at joydogfood.com. And thank you for joining us.